Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Star Wars The Force Awakens is about to pass Avatar as the number one grossing movie of all time.
Saw them both.
But it's not really number one. Star Wars Force Awakens is actually 21, number 21 all time in tickets sold. But the gross is higher because the tickets are far more expensive. You want to see it in 3D, it'll set you back, what, $20 to $25.
What?
If you want to see it in 3D in Manhattan, it's going to cost you $20 to $25 bucks.
I was going
to
say, I saw it a matinee over the last weekend for $10.
Yeah, but I'm talking about in 3D?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, in Manhattan, it's $20 to $25. It's like $21.95. So actually, in tickets sold, it's only 21st.
Well, that's all right. They haven't even thrown in worldwide numbers yet completely because it hasn't even opened in China yet.
And I saw Spectre, loved it. All right, so,
and that's the movie review here on the program.
Had a car chase, had a plane chase. I mean, really, it had everything I wanted.
We'll bring in Movie Mike next week on Friday. We'll have him stay in for the show. Maybe tomorrow.
The difference between Movie Mike and me is I actually know the dude who played Chewbacca. Move on. Come on. I mean, come on.
Played half of Chewbacca.
He still played it.
I can't argue with you there.
Who's Movie Mike know from the movie?
I don't know.
When he passed Harrison Ford in the street one day? Hey, look, there's Calista Flockhart. Come on. I'll bet Jonas got more time than the other dude did.
I don't know. I couldn't tell.
Of course you can't. They're all in makeup.
I saw it twice. I couldn't tell.
You don't even know what Jonas looks like. Do you?
No. Doesn't matter. He's what, 7 foot? I mean, he stands out on a set. I mean,
he's 6'10". When I started out the show that day, you were in total shock.
Yeah.
Were you?
Yeah, it was not what I expected that day.
No.
You should go see it just out of respect for him.
I have no interest in seeing it.
You're going to end up like me. You're going to be the one person in the world that has not seen the Star Wars movie. I am with E.T. Never saw E.T.
I saw E.T. I saw it one time. It was in the theater. I saw it one time.
Never saw it.
It was good. It was good. I mean, I didn't say that. Wow, unbelievable. It was good. Avatar was futuristic dances with wolves.
Avatar was the first 3D movie I ever saw where I didn't, or the first movie in general that I never saw, that I ever saw where I didn't see the edges of the screen. In other words, the 3D was so good, the movie was so engrossing that I found that I was literally watching it as if I were in it and not watching it on a movie screen. That's the first time I've ever experienced that.
I thought it was good. I didn't find it engrossing. Although, I have to admit, I watched it in a hospital room. You know, my son was in the hospital at the time, so I watched it with him.
It's one of those movies in 3D, actually, that is better in 3D. And Star Wars is not necessarily better in 3D. I mean, it's cool in 3D, but it's not better. Now, you know what I like to see in 3D? Have you ever seen, have you ever gone to like a television plus store or a store that sells televisions and watched a 3D football game?
I watch a 3D football game every Saturday in person.
No, no, no.
All right. Time now for the play-by-play call of the day.
Management went, phew, thank goodness for taking charge.
All right. Play-by-play call of the day. Here it is.
Down to the one-minute mark remaining. 106-102. Brandon Knight waiting. Don't wait too long. 6 seconds on the shot clock. Knight gets it in the corner. P.J. Tucker. Shazam! Oh, brother! P.J. Tucker. He could be bruised and battered, but he still could hit the big shots.
The legendary Al McCoy with the call on the Phoenix Suns radio network. Al's a great guy, great announcer, true legend. He has done the Suns, I believe he's done the Suns game since day one. I believe he goes back to day one when they drafted Neil Walk second behind Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. How about that trivia question? Feel always felt bad for Neil Walk. Like, okay, we lost the coin flip. We got Neil Walk. They got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. All right, let's stick with the NBA. And there are a ton of Atlanta Hawks fans in our area because of Mike Muscala. Mike Conti's on the Hawks radio network. They've got the Sixers coming up. Hi, Mike. Welcome. Great to have you with us. Happy New Year, bud.
Hey, man, we're expanding that Hawks fan base everywhere. I'm glad to hear that.
We're doing it one step at a time.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, jeez. Okay, thanks. I appreciate that. I thought I'd escape that thing. Okay. Well, thank you. Appreciate it very much, Mike.
You're welcome.
I want to talk about just the NBA in general. What works about that league, in your opinion? And what doesn't work about that league?
Wow, that's a really good question. I think what does not work, because that answer is a little more on the tip of my tongue, is just the small market franchises are at such a disadvantage. Unless you're a San Antonio that's had an installed system for a long time and a coach in a front office that's been there forever and a group of players who have been there for a long time and we're basically drafted into it. I think it's really, really hard for small market franchises to compete for the A-list free agents year in, year out. Teams like the Indiana Pacers, the Sacramento Kings, the Portland Trailblazers were gutted in free agency this offseason. It's just so, so hard, I think, for the small market franchises to compete, even though there is a pretty rigid salary cap at the NBA. You're talking about a very small handful of superstar players who are the featured players in the league, who can basically go wherever they want. And quite frankly, they don't want to play in Milwaukee or Sacramento or even Phoenix or anything like that. So I wish there was a way where we had more superstars in the league and we could spread that out a little bit more. But I think what really does work for the league is there are a lot of very compelling personalities right now. You know, obviously LeBron is a very compelling personality, perhaps the best player of his generation. Steph Curry is a guy who does everything right on and off the floor and can be really promoted as one of the faces of the league if the NBA wants it that way. So I feel like the game is in good hands, Steve, with the superstars we have and the growth of the game internationally, because so many of the superstars and very, very good players coming into this league are international. And it's really helped to spread the game into Asia and Europe and markets abroad.
What about Atlanta? Atlanta's been a good but not great franchise over the years. I mean, and I mean that in terms of the ability to draw. Have you always been surprised at the mixed reception that the Hawks receive in the city?
A little bit. I think, you know, the pecking order of the NBA in Atlanta, you have to be realistic and know that when you come down here, and you know this, Steve, you've been down here many times, college football is king in this city.
Right.
And then it's Major League Baseball, and then it's the National Football League, and then it's high school sports, and then you get to the Hawks. And I think the Hawks have tried to be very, very aggressive in attracting new fans, transplants to this city. They're working very, very hard to market themselves to the Hispanic population of Atlanta, very, very hard to people ages 20 to 29. They've moved the start of the game time here in Atlanta to 8 p.m. Eastern, which is miserable for the radio broadcasters right. like us who have to work the next morning. But it was basically done to address the severe traffic situation in Atlanta, trying to make the games more accessible to fans. But ultimately, I think, as is the case in any NBA market, the fans will come if they're winning games. And last year, I believe they had somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 to 30 sellouts out of 41 regular season games, which for the Hawks is quite good, but they won 60 games last year. You know, this year they aren't doing quite so well, and as such, attendance has dropped a little bit. But I really believe that if they can build a consistent long-term winner, which is something they have not had here really ever, even when Dominique was here, they can draw, but that requires a long-term, sustained winning franchise, and you know, quite frankly, they don't have that yet.
Yeah, that's the isn't it amazing how the greatest marketing tool is winning?
Yeah, you know, go figure. I mean, look at the Pittsburgh Pirates, Steve. I mean, it's pretty amazing. A new ballpark, and then you start to win about a decade later, and now that's the hottest ticket in town. Go figure.
Yeah, no, exactly right. It's a league where there's a lot of promotion on personalities. I understand that. But also at times gets into that WWE, you know, Kobe this or LeBron that. How much does that bother you as somebody who's always taken this entire deal where the game is serious to you?
Well, boy, I mean, on one hand, I hate it as a basketball purist. I hate the fact that Kobe Bryant, who needs to take 30 shots to get the 15 points, is probably going to be a starter in the All-Star game as he is every year. But then I point to the fact that one of the five home sellouts that the Hawks have had so far in their 17 or 18 home games was the L.A. Lakers, because everyone wanted to come and see Kobe. You know, the secondary market ticket to see the Cavs in April is already north of $300 or $400. So from a business standpoint, it helps the league business-wise. I think what I really dislike the most, and I don't want to sound like Mark Cuban, but it's the reality. I just dislike the fact that if a small market franchise or a team that does not have a superstar is pulled into a playoff series against a marquee player like a LeBron or a James Harden or a Steph Curry or someone like that, you know, and I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but I think you look at the calls that the superstar gets as opposed to the team without the superstar from the referees, and that bothers me a little bit. You know, the Hawks were victims of a very, very tight whistle early in their Eastern Conference final against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, by no means am I saying the Hawks would have beaten Cleveland in the best of seven last year. I'm not suggesting that
right.
at all.
I understand.
But it was frustrating. You know, LeBron gets calls that Jeff Teague does not get. LeBron gets calls that Paul Millsap does not get. That bothers me, but it's the reality of where they are in the league right now, and certainly from a TV rating standpoint, the Cleveland Cavaliers are a much better draw than the Atlanta Hawks. I respect that.
All right. Now, the Hawks have the Philadelphia 76ers, who are a mess.
Well, upwardly trending, improving. I mean, they've won three of their last six.
Right.
I think the Ish Smith pickup was very, very good for them.
Yeah.
You know, and in terms of tonight's matchup, Steve, I know the Hawks, you know, Jeff Teague, their points are he's going to have problems with a guy like Ish Smith tonight, because Ish Smith is very active and likes to run and is going to make the guy guarding him work. And then on top of that, you've got Okafor, who played very well against Al Horford last month when the Sixers were down here in Atlanta. I just think this is, I'll be totally honest with you, I know this sounds crazy because you're talking about a Hawks team that has 21 teams and a Sixers team that has, three or four. I think this is a frightening matchup for the Hawks. They've played much better, the Sixers, since Mike D'Antoni was brought onto that bench as an assistant. I love the Philadelphia signing of Elton Brand, who played here last year in Atlanta. Great pro, 17 years in the league, probably won't play much for them, but is certainly a guy who can help along Noel and Embiid when he comes back, and Okafor. I just think Philadelphia finally, perhaps under pressure from the commissioner and the other owners in the league, are finally starting to figure this out and get it together. And that's what scares me about this matchup tonight for the Hawks, because everyone's expecting them to win. And sometimes that puts a lot of pressure on you.
I will say this, by the way. The Sixers did something which, under normal circumstances, you'd sit back and say, what are they doing? But keeping Brown as the coach, I thought was absolutely the right thing to do because, you know what? In this situation, I think he's actually done a great job. They are interested in every game they play.
I totally agree. And you watch the Sixers and Dwayne Farrell, who played for Georgia Tech and the Hawks and the Indiana Pacers. He's my partner on the broadcast. And he points this out all the time. Philadelphia, they like each other. They play well together. They move the ball well. And that is a reflection on Brett Brown, the head coach. I mean, you're talking about a franchise that's been in single-digit wins going into the month of February, what, each of the last 3 years? I mean, a locker room could go very, very sour very quickly when you aren't winning a lot. For some reason, this Philadelphia team seems to like each other a great deal. I think that's a total reflection on the head coach. And I think if you were to take a poll, Steve, of the other head coaches and general managers in the league, they would speak very, very highly of Brett Brown, who took a job under very difficult circumstances, knowing this would be the roster rebuilding strategy that Philadelphia would take, but he's a disciple of Greg Popovich, longtime Spurs guy. And I'm really, really glad, just like Gus Bradley with the Jacksonville Jaguars, I'm really, really glad that coaches who have taken on a difficult rebuilding project are being paid with patience and a little bit of extra time. And I think if the Sixers stay the course with Brett Brown, not so sure about the GM, but if they stay the course with Brett Brown, they're going to be just fine.
Since you're down there in Georgia, I got to ask you about this. What is at least the reaction among the fan base and also the media to Kirby Smart taking the job in Athens?
Home run hire. At least that's how it's perceived down here. And I really think, Steve, they were not going to fire Mark Richt until a report got out the final Saturday of the regular season that Kirby Smart was talking to South Carolina. I think Smart was the only guy they would have moved on if they thought that they could not get him, and indeed that was the case. For the record, just me personally, I feel Mark Richt should not have been fired. I think it's absurd to fire a guy who wins 9 or 10 games every year and was very, very close to winning a national championship twice. But Georgia fans are very, very excited because this is a homecoming. It's a guy off the Saban tree. We know how well a lot of those assistants have done. And I think there's a lot of optimism that they are going to be better under Smart. I don't know how they can be much better than they were under Rick because they were pretty darn good under him.
Right. Yeah, 145 wins in 15 years is not bad. I think a lot of people would take that. Hey, Mike, Happy New Year to you. Thanks so much for the time. It's always great. By the way, how's the new stadium coming along in downtown next to the Georgia Dome? Pretty good?
Here in Atlanta, you won't believe your eyes. It's incredible.
And they have a Final Four set in that place now, right?
They have a Final Four. I think they have a college football national championship, and they're going for a Super Bowl. So we'll be more than willing to welcome Penn State to any one of those events coming up.
You got that right. Believe me, and I'd love to be there for any of them, too. Hey, Mike, thanks.
You bet, Steve.
That's Mike Conti from the Falcons and Hawks Radio Network. Back with more in a moment. Kevin's complete analysis of the interview, as only he can, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Another big Kevin day here at the ballpark. A lot of panic on his part with the Steelers playing Saturday night to get the prime time game. Whole country's going to be able to watch it. And you're worried.
Yeah, I'm worried I'm not going to get home in time to watch it. That's what I'm worried about. Actually, I am so happy about this start time. It couldn't have worked out any better for me.
Great. I'm glad they could accommodate your schedule.
Yeah. I appreciate the NFL doing so. I still haven't figured out, though, why there are two AFC playoff games on Saturday and then NFC playoff games on Sunday, but then don't continue that scenario.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, but you'd think there was a rhyme or a reason for it. How do they select what games go at what times? For instance, why did ESPN get the Chiefs and Titans? Why did NBC get Seahawks and Vikings? Why are those games on Sunday as opposed to Saturday?
I think when it comes to this, Fox and CBS get the prime spot games.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, I understand that part of it. Okay. But for instance, why did the Steelers and Bengals get selected for 8:15? Why is that a Saturday game? Why isn't it a Sunday game? How do they decide when these games get played in the playoffs? Because let's face it, there is no rhyme or reason for any of this to happen. When you're sitting in there week 17 wondering when your team's going to play in the next playoff game, you have an idea who they're going to play already with the seedings, but you have no clue what day that's going to happen. I just wonder why that the NFL sets everything else up on a certain set of rules. Why aren't these games set up on the same set on a certain set of rules? It just seems random.
I think you think too much.
I've never been accused of that.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Does it matter?
Not really.
They put the Steelers and Bengals game at that time because they thought it was the most intriguing matchup of the weekend.
Well, and it's prime time, and it's one of their partner major networks, so I get that.
They're not going to put ESPN in prime time.
No.
They put CBS in prime time. They put Fox with the last game of the weekend.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports Bozo of the Day, Matt Cotrillo just talked about it. A high school coach headbutting a referee in Pennsylvania.
And it wasn't even questionable from the video. I mean, he leaned in and it looked like a from-the-hips headbutt to an official who wasn't the official that made the call. He was actually trying to get in between what it appeared to be in between the coach and the official that was that Devine was actually questioning.
Yeah.
Actually, he's the one, the official that fell is the one that got teed up right before the alleged headbutt.
There you go.
It that had to be the craziest thing I had ever seen in a high school game. And I've seen a lot of crazy things in high school games over the years. I've been doing this for pretty close to 20 years. I've seen a lot of things, but I have never seen that before.
Well, that's our sports bozo of the day. And to his credit, he earned it. The practice time for Clemson, and this is on your rundown here.
Yes.
It is a story only in that it's the championship game. It's not really. It's irrelevant.
No, but this makes sense to me. And the NCAA did something that, in my opinion, made sense. And I thought it was worth recognizing
Kevin,
their
Kevin,
good move for a change.
Kevin, do you know how much time you need to get ready for the game?
But that doesn't matter. It's a
Kevin.
It's a rule that wouldn't be equal for both teams, and they fixed it.
Kevin,
you can do too much. You can do too much. Okay, the game counts as 3 hours, no matter what. I don't care if the game goes 18 overtimes and is a six-hour epic. The game counts as 3 hours. So you got 17 hours the rest of the week to view tape with the coaches, practice on the field, and hit the weight room. You got 17 hours. If these guys are any good with what they've been doing, they're in a routine where they've gone out, and you know, something tells me Deshaun Watson, on his own, he has access to probably every Alabama tape the last 2 years.
Huddle's a beautiful
thing. On his own. Looks at it. When he gets in the meeting with the coach, they're ready to go. It's the same way they're prepared all year. Same way they're prepared all year. Clemson's going to win the game anyway.
But Clemson's in a unique situation where they actually started their spring semester already, so their time would be limited more.
Oregon was in the same position last year against Ohio State. The big thing is that the Alabama players do not have to go to class this week and don't have to deal with the first week of here's the syllabus, here's the 15 to 20 minute class, and we're done. You have to sit at the front, meet the coach, the whole thing. There's something to be said about being back in the routine. There's also something to be said about getting to sleep late, do whatever you want, and then hit the weight room. And do, you know, because most teams do some lifting during the season. Not heavy lifting, but tone lifting. That's fine. You have to remember that they played the 31st. They don't play again until Monday the 11th. Right? That's 12 days between games. They don't just have 20 hours. They have to go 20 hours this week, but they could have done anything they wanted.
I just think the NCAA did something that made sense for a change.
It doesn't matter. It's so artificial and irrelevant. It's artificial. It's artificial. Yeah, I tell you right now, you think Alabama's putting 20 hours, putting in 40 hours this week working on the game? You can do way too much. No, they're going to do a lot of, there'll be some full speed stuff, 7-on-7 stuff. I would guess that they would have contact one day, one. And then other than that, there'd be no contact. You practiced all year. Okay? This is a case of not knowing and making it more complicated than it is. I mean, Penn State wasn't in class in Jacksonville. How many hours do you think they played? They did everything the same all week, like they always do. They went Sunday, took Monday off as a travel day, practiced Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, did a walkthrough Friday, played. What do you think? They went out there in the practice field, Kevin, and had an 8-hour practice on Wednesday?
I think you missed the point on this one.
That's absolutely missing the point. You're way off base because you don't know how it works.
No, I'm saying if you have a rule, it's got to be an even playing field. I don't care if it's – I don't care if you don't use it.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. I'd have looked at the NCAA and said, we don't care. We're fine.
I'm just saying, if you have a rule out there, it should be an even rule. And this is not of any fault of Clemson's football players that they're actually in class.
They're fine. Okay. Then why wasn't there a waiver for the last 16 years when you played Ohio State in the first month of the season?
That's what I'm saying. That the NCAA did it
right.
Do you know
what I'm saying? Do you even know what I'm talking about?
Are you talking about a waiver for playing for practices like we're talking about here?
For playing Ohio State in the first month of the season. Now, why would I say that, Kevin?
Because Ohio State starts later.
They're on the quarter system. They're no longer on the quarter system. They've gone to semesters. But they were on the quarter system forever. They went the first from training camp up until usually the fourth game of the year. No school. Zero. Nada. None. We're going to play Texas, non-conference game. Fine. Got all week. We're good. Did Texas get a waiver?
I think they should have. That's the point I'm trying to make.
No, you're in school. Come on. Let's be realistic here. How much time do you want? You're in school. You can't craft it. You can't do it.
Either do one or two, then do it the other way. Then the team that has all the time gets limited.
Kevin, you can't craft it. You can't, and Alabama doesn't need it. It's irrelevant.
Then why have the rule?
You have the rule because you're going to class, right? Clemson can't get out of class to do this. That's just the way it goes.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Then if you want to balance the scales out, then limit Alabama to the situation that Clemson's in as far as time is.
What is Alabama? What's Alabama going to do? What great advantage is it other than sleeping late?
I think sleeping late's important. You don't have any you don't have any classes. Look, you don't have any distractions that way.
Guess what? If I'm Dabo Swinney, I laugh it off. You want to know why? Because a guy like you would send your team to ruin. Right? You'd get up there, well, we got to have the extra. And guess what? The whole organization then thinks it. I want to get up, laugh it off, say, we don't need it. We're fine.
What's the purpose of the rule then?
And to have my entire organization. The purpose of the rule is to balance school, which Clemson is in, and practice. Now, remember, they're going to be able to leave early to go down there and then practice. At that point, you're in a travel and you have to get out of class to do it, like the NCAA tournament. I mean, Penn State every year, for example, goes to the Big Ten tournament. Every year but one in the existence of the Big Ten tournament, Penn State's been on spring break. Well, they move the practices around maybe a little earlier in the day, don't practice as late in the day. But there's only so long you could practice. For some reason, you can't seem to understand. You don't need to go out and practice 25 hours for the game. You don't.
Yeah, but is all this practice, or does this include team meetings? And
this includes team meetings, includes get together, weightlifting. You have 17 hours. And remember, they get to go the weekend. They get Saturday and Sunday. They get to leave Friday. They're in good shape. They get the whole weekend. If there's anything they missed along the way, and believe me, they needed the first 2 days of the week. On the first, the second, and into Sunday, the third, just preparing the game plan.
Well, let me ask you this question now. If you're going to a bowl game or the national championship game, there's obviously some things that you have to do as a team.
Your team would get crushed because you made them think about it. My team would be like, hey, we're all good. I don't care.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying there's things you have to do as a team when you get there. There's events that are attended.
Not this.
Well,
not
that's what I was going to ask. Is that happening with the national championship game?
Not this. Nope. You're only playing the game. They don't do anything extra. Except for press conference. They have to have media day.
Right.
They have to have media day, and they have to have their press conferences. But that's the only extra they have to do.
Yeah, they don't have the event where they have to go out for lunch, or they have to go here, or they have to visit this place.
Nope. This is a totally different game. This is not a bowl game. It's a totally different thing. Remember, they play Monday. You don't want them running around too much anyway. All right? This is your 15th game. You don't have 40-something days off between games like the old system. This is 12. You can do too much. The NFL, they got back to work on Wednesday this week. I think Tuesday for the Steelers and the Bengals.
Now you talk about that. You talk about the layoff.
Those are professionals.
That's what they do for a living. They got a couple days off.
Would you rather have a layoff of 10 days or longer?
No.
Or would you rather play week to week in this championship situation?
Playing 10, 11 days is fine. Might as well be week to week anyway. You're going Thursday to playing Monday. It's not.
And that's the one thing that always bugged me, and I know why they did it, but that's the one thing that always bugs me about the FCS tournament is you have Jacksonville State and North Dakota State playing on January 9th. They played the weekend of December 18th, 19th last.
Well, God, that's fine.
That's like waiting. That's like waiting. Yeah, that's like waiting from the end of the season and Thanksgiving and not playing until New Year's Day.
Well, fine. Let's do a poll across the country. They even knew that those two teams were playing on January 9th.
And I get that, but I'm just it's a point I'm trying to make about, you know, layoffs or whether it's not a great idea to have those kind of layoffs.
That's not a big layoff. That's the equivalent of the layoff between the ACC, Big Ten, Pac-12, and Southeastern Conference Championship games and the national semifinals. It's the same layoff, 3 weeks. 3 weeks is good. Take that first week, just kind of throttle down. Take the second week, put the game plan in. Take the third week, do the game, play. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. And then what do you think these guys have been doing? Maybe I'd like a couple of extra hours. Okay, a couple of extra hours, fine. But you can't overload the day. We're going to go to waiver. We're going to put more hours in. So you're going to make Deshaun Watson go to class until, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But, you know, we got a couple of extra hours. So we're going to make him work till 10 at night. You got to remember, they're not one of them for Clemson's taking a test. Zero. Nada. Not one of them has to study for a test. Why? It's the first week of class. There's nothing due. There's nothing due, but they do have to go to class. It is a university. Meanwhile, Alabama starts on the 13th. Why do you sense they sat back and said, when's the national championship game? The 11th? Let's start the 13th. We'll come back with more in a moment here on, it's all about culture, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Yep. Kevin would have his team thinking so much that Alabama has this gigantic advantage. They'd be blown out 41-0.
I'd use it as motivation.
Oh, you would you?
Yeah. The NCAA disrespected you. They don't think you deserve the same amount of time. You're doing more than Alabama is. You're going to class. Now let's go out there and show them.
Everybody in the room would be saying, can we go around the wall?
No, go through it!
Nah, we'll go around, thanks. Austin Johnson's going to go to the Senior Bowl. Adam Brenneman is going to call it a career. That was the news out here today. You can't make a big deal out of small stuff. All I would ask the NCAA is, okay, we have 12 days between games. Do we only get 20 hours for the 12 days, or is it just 20 hours Monday through Friday? Or 17 hours. The game counts as three. That's the only thing I'd ask them. I said, is it 17 hours Monday through Friday? You know, with obviously a mandatory day off, and of course you play the games, you're going to take a day off. You know, what about the second, the third, and then what about the weekend of the game? That's all I'd ask them. Just need to understand how this plays out. They'll tell you, you're in good shape. You move on.
Steve, if you have nothing to do on Saturday at noon, I'm telling you that this ESPN2 game for the FCS championship is going to be an entertaining game to watch. Jacksonville State, North Dakota State.
There's a group of friends I've not gotten together with probably since the summertime. I'm actually going to have some interaction with human beings.
That's
TV
good.
Off.
That's good.
And enjoy that. And then eventually I'll watch some of the Texans and Chiefs game. Then I'll watch the entire Steelers-Bengals game. Keep my phone off because somebody texts me.
I will not
over
text
again
you.
During the game.
I will
over
not text
and over and over again.
Well, if you're looking for something to watch on Saturday afternoon, I'm telling you, this game should be very entertaining. Two very good offenses, two teams that have played defense very well in this tournament.
I mean, so for all
averaging
of you,
30 points.
Buy your Powerball tickets in the morning.
Right, right. That way you don't have to leave the TV for the rest of the day.
Jacksonville State's playing who?
North Dakota State.
Yeah, okay.
Jacksonville State's the number one team in FCS, North Dakota State number three. And, of course, North Dakota State has the history of winning FCS championships like league titles. But Jacksonville State almost pulled that upset earlier in the season. Played very well for a half, at least, against an FBS team.
I'd like to know what kind of financial hit North Dakota State's taken over the years by playing all these games.
That's a really good question. Although, you look at that, you look at the stadium that they have and the facilities. Kevin, I'm not so sure.
Kevin has 17,000 seats. Okay.
But it's a really nice indoor stadium.
Okay. You could charge $100 a head. No.
But it's a really nice indoor stadium.
In FCS, every round you advance, the athletic department loses money.
Oh, I know that.
And what happens is you get to the championship game, and you name every hanger-on, and they all want to be on the team playing going down.
The Fargo Dome holds 19,000 for football, 10,000 for basketball.
Okay, I missed by 2,000. I'm sorry.
Cost $48 million today.
But that's a city stadium,
well,
right?
And today it would be $81 million. And it is owned by the city of Fargo, yes.
All right, so they rent it.
Right. They do concerts in there. Basketball.
Place here seats 107.
I've been there. Not bad.